Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is October 24th. I shouldn't even say the date because this podcast won't go up for a couple weeks, but it is October the 24th, and in studio today is Brian Thomas from Uncle B's Kitchen, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. It's Uncle B's Kitchen.
Yes, sir.
Not Uncle B's Kitchen, man.
Nah, Uncle B's. Kitchen.
Uncle B's Kitchen. Well, we were, you know, there's some good people in this town. Obviously, you're one of them. I don't know. I'm questionable. But but Rob West is an amazing guy, right? Yeah. Straight from heaven. And he sent me your name. And anytime Rob West sends me a person's name, I have to follow up because every time he's, every person that he suggested has been amazing.
Yeah.
And so he made the call and I made the call and here we are.
Yes, sir. We're here.
Yeah. Thank you. It is. It's kind of an overcast kind of a, it feels, I mean, I say the date because it's appropriate. It feels like this time of year, right?
Yeah.
I was driving here this morning. I'm like, when else could you have Halloween? Right?
It's perfect.
This is like Halloween.
Nice and spooky.
Yeah, it's spooky.
Foggy, overcast.
So, we were joking a little bit this morning because I had this past weekend was the weekend I was going to go out to Long Neck and get some barbecue. And I invited my in-laws, I invited my dad, I invited my brother, a bunch of people we're going to have. Because, you know, someone had said there was somebody, right? And so I tried to do it, went out there, and there was no barbecue.
Very disappointed, wasn't you?
Well, we did meet some other people that sell the Indian tacos out in Long Neck. They're very good. So it wasn't a complete bust. But I tell you what, when it's time to find barbecue and there isn't any, it is. So, you know, I had to go to Bethany Blues. And no offense, but it was my last choice. Nothing, there's anything wrong with Bethany Blues, but I like to support, you know, people kind of living a dream,
right.
Just hustling it out. So anyway, I didn't get a hold of you, of course, but I asked you, did you make barbecue this week? And you were like, not this weekend. So it still would have been a fail. But so talk about what you did. What's got Rob West so excited?
Well, he does these events and I think the year before last, he had an event in Salisbury.
Yeah.
Needed somebody to cook.
I'm going to look on my phone because I want to look at, because I know he's got another event. I want to be able to say what it is before.
That one is going to be March 24th or 5th.
It's Making a Difference Coalition.
Yeah.
The monthly meeting date, October the 20th.
Oh, that was just the meeting.
Oh, that was the meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah.
He has a list of events.
He's got a list of events, but yeah.
And he, I need you to put something together. At the time, I was cooking on the back of my pickup truck.
Okay.
Me and my girlfriend load the pickup truck up, hit to Salisbury.
Yeah.
Think we did, I want to say, maybe 6 cases of chicken, fried potatoes, sausages. Then Chef Dom kicked in and sliced onions, helped serve, and we rocked it out. And then I guess that kind of just started a chain reaction of, B, I need you this. B, I need you to do this. Then we had a fundraiser for Devin over there in Indian River.
Okay.
And that's when I first bought my trailer.
You were like, okay.
It was 2 weeks prior to me doing that event. I bought a trailer, empty. Didn't know what I was doing. Got on YouTube University.
And now.
Learn how to do electric.
Educational television.
Learn how to do electric. I'm not the best at framing or building, but I made it work.
Yep.
Long story short, we got there, started the event. I didn't know how to turn my electric on. So all day, people's lining up. We're slinging chicken. I don't know what's going on in the trailer. After that, I was like, you know what? I don't even care.
Right.
We're still slinging chicken.
Yeah.
Everything's good.
Well, you don't need electric to cook the chicken.
Well, fire. We need electric because I have a refrigerator.
Good point.
In there and had lights, and Rob was in there, and he did his thing.
Yeah.
And he made a list. B, you need this, 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 and this.
So you'd always kind of been sort of dreaming on the back burner of kind of having your own setup, your own, you know, going. Because I talked to a guy that sells snow cones down at the track, down at Sand Hill. And I'm like, you should come on my podcast. And he's like, and talk about snow cones? And I go, no. It's the, you know, I'm sure at some point you did something.
Right.
And at some point you had a dream of wanting to do something else.
Right.
And then it's always that the story to me, the great story to me is that stepping off, right, where you're like, all right. And whether it's, you know, Rob saying we need this and just kind of throw you in trial by fire, or you prep for 5 years to do this one step, but it happens. And, you know, sometimes we kind of make the step and life becomes harder.
Yeah.
Right? But life becomes a little better.
Yeah, it does.
You know, I'm the guy that believes that the more inconvenient, the more of a challenge, the more of a miracle takes place.
Mm-hmm.
And the leap of faith, you know, I had a guy named Matt Haley who was, you know, I used to kind of bellyache about what I was doing. He's like, either do it or shut up.
Pretty much.
And I'm like, all right, I'll do it. And then all of a sudden wheels started turning. And next thing you know, I own a hair salon. And I'm like, oh, my God. And it was harder.
Yeah.
But much more fulfilling.
Yeah.
Like so that's kind of what happened. You just
I just went for it. And then I didn't know how to do no business plan. Nothing. Right. I just jumped right in. So once again, went back to YouTube, started listening to podcasts, started doing a lot of Googling, figured out how to structure certain things, learned about credit, business credit,
sure.
You know, stuff like that. And then still learning, but I like learning the hard way.
Well, and I love that you even share that because, you know, I think we sit by and people start talking about credit and I'm like, well, I don't know anything about credit, but I'm not going to say anything, right?
Right,
because I don't
want
to feel embarrassed.
Right.
Because we should all, right, know how to start our own business,
right,
of course.
Right.
But we don't.
Right.
And, you know, and sometimes it's a little, you know, thank God for YouTube TV, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we can quietly go learn. But there are times, I had another guy on the podcast, and I'm like, can you just explain that? You know, it was pretty basic, but I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. some of us are afraid to raise our hands.
Yeah.
And so I think it's great that you share that.
Well, what started that was we, me and my homeboys, you know, we kind of came up kind of, you know, not the best, but we made it work. And then we was at his party.
Or it might have been the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes us.
Absolutely.
You know?
There's a picture that's been painted for us that's supposed to be what we're supposed to do.
Right,
right,
right.
It isn't always the greatest picture, and it always isn't the greatest outcome.
Right.
You know, you might have been actually the best.
Yeah, and then we was at a party, and then we have this thing is we brag with each other. We pull out all of our cards.
Yeah.
Oh, I got this much on this card, this much on this card, this much on this card. And what started was, well, what's our credit looking like?
Yeah.
And then now we was in a race. My credit score jumped up to 800. Man, you beat me. I'm only at 755. I got to tighten up. So that's what kind of got our whole crew.
Isn't that funny?
Much.
You know you're old.
Yeah.
When you know you're with the biggest thing you're proud of is your credit score.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, but you got to realize we bought up Cash is King.
Yeah.
Old grandpop used to keep a bankroll.
Yep.
So that's what I wanted. Yep. I used to go to Tom Best, give me a ones and fives. So I can be like my papa.
I love it.
Pay with cash. But we didn't know what we know now then because that's what our grandparents knew. Cash.
Well, and there's something too that the feeling of money when you're handing it over or where someone's giving
it's
you
a,
the money.
It's a, I can't explain the feeling, but if I got this card, I'm going to swipe it. But if I got a pocket full of ones, it's hard to separate these ones and hand them over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it is, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah.
The life of credit.
Life
of
credit.
Because it is, I do believe, it's a big problem.
Yeah, it is.
We're having in this country. And I think the Pied Piper is leaving the train station.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, during the pandemic, we're gonna talk about food, but during the pandemic, I focused on paying off credit cards.
Yes.
And I didn't have a lot of credit card debt, but it's funny, you can get it, like, I just went through this. I canceled one of my credit cards because I have kids, and they start, you know, Roblox and all of a sudden these little things are on your credit card. And now I'm like, all of a sudden I'm getting my credit card bill. It's like $2,000. I'm like, I don't have $2,000 worth of stuff this month. I don't, right. Where did that go? So I just cancel the card.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they start calling, you know, hey, you can't get through your credit card. And you're like, I don't know when we became in a relationship, but it's over.
It's over.
So I spend a lot of time getting rid of this debt.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I love that. I think it's a great message.
Yeah. And then you figure with business, you know, they always say leverage your personal credit to start business credit. And then that's what I did. And I got a homegirl that's, I think she's still going to college.
Yeah.
And you got to do this, 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 this. And I just learned from her, YouTube.
What did you need? What was the biggest thing for you needed on credit to start your business? Was it your trailer?
No. I'll tell you a story about the trailer. I went to the bank. I'm not going to say the bank's name because they're local. And I've been with them since.
Unless they helped you.
No.
Okay, because I have the same sort of story.
And I went to them. You know, I've been with them since 2003. It's a long time.
Mm.
And all I wanted was, you know, a little simple little, just $2,500. Just to, you know, show something. Try to put me through a bunch of hula hoops. I said, you know what? I use my own money. And that's how I started everything. Finance from myself to fund the business. I haven't started paying myself back yet, but it's coming.
Right.
So now I don't own, I mean, I don't owe anybody any money but myself.
But do you feel like you're paying yourself back in a way that you would have never expected? Just like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Is like, because in my mind, when something like that comes up, I'm like, oh, I'm going to fail, I'm sure. Yeah. This is never going to work. And then, but you show up, you're honest, you show up, and all of a sudden people like dig that.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go to, as long as they're honest and really like cool people,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be the most amazing, usually is, but yeah. It's like, I like this part of the relationship too.
Yeah.
That's why when we went out on Long Neck, you know, different crew, but they're doing those Indian tacos.
Yeah.
Okay. They're awesome, but I really like those people. I love the hustle.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
That's what it is. It's all a hustle out here. Everybody is.
It's good heart medicine, right? It's good for the heart. It's good for the soul.
Yeah, and then I got a passion for it. It's like, I'm not going to serve you something I'm not going to eat.
Yeah.
And it's like, you'll see that Mac bowl, it's a lot of food in there. And that's how I like to eat. So when you come to my truck or trailer, you're going to be like, it's like yesterday, I told a lady, she said, I want two Mac bowls. I said, you sure? Yeah, okay. She said, oh, I can't eat all this. I asked you, was you sure? Because you get fed.
Well, that's
good.
What you're going to get regardless. Right. I'm taking some out.
Right.
This is what we do.
Yeah.
Where did you get all, like, your training? I mean, not, I guess that's a dumb word, but, like, is it just passed down generation through your family?
My folks is from the South. And when we used to go there as kids, my aunties used to have this spread of food. Biscuits, salmon cakes, grits, scrapple, bacon, everything. So you pretty much just sit back and observe.
Mm.
And then, like my grandma now, she still does the same thing to this day. She'll make her own bread, makes her own biscuits, gets up, makes the spread. So you kind of just pick up on how things are put together.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then you just take it. And you remix it. You add this, add that.
That's what we do now.
Yeah.
We mix up all the old great music. We mash it all up.
And
we make new music. It's really cool.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep. And then you just pick up on things. And then my grandmom, she always likes to put stuff together. Like she makes her own juice. She makes this, make this, taste this, taste this, taste this. And it kind of just, you know, grew on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, man, let me try this. But I've always been cooking, sure. Like for the crew and everybody, but as far as jumping out cooking for somebody, it was the first thing I sold. It was kind of like, oh man, what if they like it? I don't want nobody talking bad about me in the street, you know. Then there's nothing but positive feedback, you know.
Well, I mean, we do have feelings, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty strong, right, and pretty tough until someone, you know, disses my food. And then all of a sudden, I'm not bipolar, but I'm emotionally sometimes bipolar. Yeah. You know, tell me I did a great job and I want to open my own food truck.
Right, right.
Tell me
right.
I did a bad job and I want to leap off a bridge. So yeah. It's trying to find that middle.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before this?
Driving trucks.
Just driving trucks.
Yeah, still I work for Coastal Towing right now.
Okay.
And then I still.
Oh, Coastal Towing up
in Lewis. Oh, Cedar Grove.
Yeah, right up the street from me. Mm-hmm. We live up on Jimtown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. And I'm right around the corner. Grew up in Belltown.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. You know, I love that area.
Oh,
It's got a lot of history that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what was going on back in the day, but it just. I love. I know it sounds weird, but I sort of love that area.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love. There's a lot. If you go on Jimtown Road, there's a lot of people that live down there.
Mm hmm.
That I just want to go and knock on everybody's door and introduce myself. Yeah. Isn't that weird? But yeah. I just want to. But I feel like I'm not sure I would be welcome all the time. I'm sure I would be.
Yeah.
But it's like there's a house down there. I think it's they raising Rottweilers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't go. I want to say, hey, hi, my name is Tom. I run here. I just don't want to. I want to make sure is that okay?
Right.
There's no loose Rottweiler sometimes, right? But I love that sort of community.
Yeah, the whole area. Like when I was just come up, it was just nice.
Yeah.
I mean, now is a lot of people. Well,
it's still nice over there.
It still is.
Don't tell anybody.
Oh, boy.
Jimtown Road is sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sweet.
Yeah, I love it over there. Well, we lived in Rehoboth for 20 something years and was proud of that.
Yeah.
Right. You know, this is where I live. I mean, right. I was on the east side of one, you know,
right.
I had this spot and always proud of that. But when we finally did decide to move out of the area, I'm like, oh, thank God. It's so much more peaceful out of that area. So you were just driving trucks and you're like, I want to do you ever think there'll be a time where you want to do one or the other? Or you're going to just.
It's in the back of my head all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to figure out the logistics of everything and how. This can pay for this, and this can pay for this.
Yeah.
And everything can pay for itself, you know.
One of the things where we went this past weekend was a lot of these kind of barbecue rigs kind of show up sort of by other stores. There was a great one that was down in Rehoboth, but they're always kind of like next to places. And we had pulled up to this other place this past weekend. I'm like, where's the barbecue? Or where's the barbecue? And they go, oh, they already packed up. I'm like, why aren't they like filling your shelves with like chickens and different things that they can continue to sell?
Right.
It was like they're done, they're gone. There's no more to buy. Is there any way you think you could get into an area where you could maybe barbecue and then you know maybe make an extra tin and then put it on the shelves of a like a farmer's market or something like that?
It could be possible.
Yeah.
You just have to sit down with whoever owns the store or whatever.
Yeah.
And just build a relationship with them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that is a good point, though, because I've never even thought about anything like that.
Yeah, I'm like, how come? Okay, right, you can't be here barbecuing all day. I get that.
Right.
You should be. But you can't. I get it.
Right.
So when I come bebopping in at 5 o'clock on a Sunday, I'd still like to get some ribs. I mean.
Right, right.
And it was weird because the place that I went into, they're like, I don't know, I felt like there was like a little grumpiness between the two, and I don't understand.
Then it depends on how do you have things set up. Like if you park here, you pay me this,
right?
Or this, whatever. So maybe some days you don't do good, some days you do great.
Yeah,
and maybe that one day you didn't come up with the 10% or the $100 parking fee, or you know what I mean. So that's when you know things get a little shaky.
Well, we talked many times on this podcast about cooperation over competition, like. Yeah, how can we help each other? You know, when do we start just being like, okay, you didn't make it? That's all right, we'll try next week.
Right.
Right. When is it like at the end of the world, like if we're not getting something? It's like, still, let's help one another.
It's like, I want to see everybody win.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's enough money out here for everybody.
It's like that AT&T commercial with LeBron James where he says, I want everybody to get this
deal. Everybody.
I get a little annoyed about that commercial, though. LeBron. Thanks, LeBron.
Everybody.
But he's like, everybody. Okay.
But that's how I am out here. I want everybody. It's like yesterday, we had an event over at Millsboro Middle School, some kind of art event. It was me and a guy that sells hot dogs.
Okay.
And I told him what I was told by my boy Maurice that He's like a big guy over there at Sodell. I was cutting his grass one day. You know, talking about cooking. We'll get out there. I'm like, man, I don't know how to, you know, I don't know how to get out there. I like to kind of stay underneath the radar. Well, who's going to know you if you're underneath the radar?
Right.
I was like, well, I guess you got a point. I tried it and it worked. You know, and that's why I told him yesterday. I said, look, man.
He sells hot dogs?
No. Well, not Maurice. He works for Sodell.
Oh, okay.
But that's who told me to, you know, I was talking to him about cooking and, well, get out there.
Oh, this was his advice to you.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I take what people tell me and I pass it along. Well, he was sitting there like, man, I don't know how to do this. I said, man, just get out there. Put yourself out there. I said, that's what I was told and that's what I did. I ain't had no plan or nothing. Just jumped out there.
Yeah.
And then I made a phone call to one of my buddies. I said, look, man, I got this guy, I got a hot dog stand. He needs a place to set up every week. Tell him to come this week.
Yeah.
But see, that's what you don't get a lot of that out here.
No.
You know, and the guy was like, man, I never had this much hospitality. I said, look, man, this, hey, you know, it's stuff I have for everybody.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's good to fail a little every once in a while. You know, that's what, you know, keeps us in check.
Yeah,
you know,
but when I fell, oh my God, my girlfriend said the other day, glad you had a good day today. This was Saturday. Because I just get so down when I don't have a great day. Because it feels like I'm failing myself.
So when you have a bad day, is it because you bought bad chicken? Or is it because just wasn't enough people passing by that day?
It's that whatever situation comes about it. Like if you order this and then plans get changed and you have to readjust and you plan for this, something else happens. Yeah. And it just throws you off.
Well, you know what the worst part about this seems like business today is, like, unless you're on your social media game, it's tough.
It is.
Like, you almost have to have, like, this group of followers. I don't know if you pull up in different spots every week or you do the same spot every week, but it's almost like you almost have to list everything you're cooking, everything
right.
that's coming out,
right.
you know, what time the grill goes on, what time the food comes out. It's like it's like people require this
now. Yeah, and see, what I do now is, like I'll post something. I post it once, and then I put it on my story. Then I post it again. Then I post it on both of them. So I try to play a psychological game, you know. You're going to see it. You might not like it, but you're going to see it.
You know what I mean? Why did you say you might not like it?
Well, you know, people don't like your stuff. They see it, but they don't like it.
Oh, you mean you're physically liking the picture?
Right.
Okay.
Because right.
I'm like,
right.
It feels like there's a little negativeness in there.
Right.
You shouldn't, because it sounds like your food's good.
It's, yeah. So,
it's like a thumb tap.
Yeah.
But
like
it's
a,
not because
of, like you're like viewing it, but you're not liking it
right.
or sharing. But you're seeing it, and then if you look at your insights, you're seeing how much people is reaching.
So you're into that.
Yeah.
You're deep
into. I'm learning
that.
It.
Yeah.
I'm learning it.
Well, what so? But in the end, it's still about some kick-ass food.
You're right.
So, I mean, I have a hair salon.
Mm-hmm.
When I first opened up 12 years ago, I would post a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I'm like, you know what? I do good work.
Right.
Come, don't come. I don't care.
Right.
I'm here. I'm doing work. I'll post a few pictures. I'm so busy now. I won't even post pictures.
Well, see, now I'm trying to make sure the first platters I sell, I'm taking a picture of them.
Right.
The first ones. It's like I say, oh, I need this platter. Take a picture right quick. Go ahead. Boom. The next one I do, whatever I have on that menu, I want to take a picture of those first three that I make.
Right.
And then when I got some downtime, I put them up where I'm at. You better come hurry and get here before it sells out.
Now, do you sell out a lot?
Yes.
And I don't mean like, of course you sell out, Brent. I mean, it's amazing. But like, that's my next question. How do you figure out how much you're going to cook for the day? Because I'd be that guy that would be like, well, I guess we're taking 40 chickens home tonight.
Well, this is how it started.
Chicken for the month.
Like I said, I didn't know nothing. So I just jumped out and I got all this food. Boom, boom, boom. Now I'm like, what am I going to do with all this food? So you start scaling to what you think you're going to need. And it's like, I'd rather sell out and don't bring no food home.
Right.
So I would do, I cook a case of chicken, a pan of mac, a pan of green beans. I'm done in an hour. My uncle said, man, you need to bring more food. But when I bring more food, I don't sell it all.
Right.
So, and this is funny because me and my girlfriend just watched a show about this barbecue guys in the South. They do a certain amount of food, and then when they sell out, they lock the door. They open up at 11, they got a line.
Yeah.
And there was a guy that walked up. I'm trying to get this. Oh, we're sold out.
Jeez.
So that's how we're looking at things now. It's like, okay, I'm only gonna bring this much. You better get here. And I tried that on Saturday. I cooked at the hospital, Bay Health, and I made these cheesy cheesesteaks. And what I was doing, I was posting them, boom, boom. And then this nurse came downstairs, and it was the last two. And then somebody pulled up. I'm here to get four cheesesteaks. Sorry, she's getting the last two. Mm. But I put on my post that morning, the hospital's going to wipe me out. You better get down there early, get these cheesesteaks.
Yeah. Can people, like, pre-order stuff? Like, if I wanted to get some ribs.
Oh, yeah.
Brian, I think I'm going to need a couple racks of ribs today.
Got you.
Yeah, that's what. So, are you? I guess you're on Instagram. What's your Instagram?
Instagram, Uncle B's Kitchen 302.
Uncle B's Kitchen
302. And then my main one is Mr.IceCream.Man. That's where I post everything through. Goes to Facebook, goes to Instagram, goes to all of them.
Isn't that name a little weird though?
What, it's Ice Cream Man?
Yeah,
I got an ice cream truck.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I used to haul ice cream. When I was driving over the road.
I don't mean it's a weird name, but I mean, if I'm looking for barbecue, I would probably.
But see, that's where it all started, was on that page.
Oh.
So, and I kind of got a nice following with it. So I keep up with it. And then I have my business page that I'm trying to grow. And then along with my Facebook. So I intertwine all of them together. So you'll get a mix up of me whipping up my mac and cheese, and then me in the yard playing with my dog, stuff like that. So you got to show a balance.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I've learned that on, you know, the YouTube University. You just got to show a balance of your work life and your personal life, because people like to see basically what they call the backstory.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I want to bring up, I had to reset my phone this weekend, so I'm trying to get, I got to put in, I'll do it later. I wanted to look at your Instagram, but my phone isn't connected to the internet here.
The internet is. I have no service here.
Yeah, I can give you. Well, we can get. I can give you the password. We do have internet. It's just you know, you need password. it's Instagram. Social media is a freaking nightmare, I think, because I mean, I try having five podcasts, a hair salon, a network, and then trying to post everything to different things. And I'm like, I wish I just had one that just went everywhere.
But see, that's why I keep everything in one. It's like if I post on my Mr. Ice Cream Man, it'll go to my Uncle B's page.
Okay.
And then it'll go to my regular Facebook page. So it'll be on all three at the same time.
I was thinking, where were we? Oh, we were at Sand Hill Fields. And I'm like, I wish I owned a coffee truck. What do you think?
Coffee's
king.
Yes. Coffee and bagels.
Yeah. Why isn't there a coffee bagel truck?
I don't know. Maybe we need to start one.
You got room in the...
I can make room.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's just not... My buddy used to tell me the biggest... The least overhead on a product is donuts and coffee.
Coffee, yeah.
I mean, apparently, if you can have a donut shop and coffee, you can make a killing. Because there's not a lot of money that goes into the donut, but it has quite the return.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well...
And then you just got to find the market.
You got
to find what's out here that people don't have.
Right.
You know, you can start anything, really.
Yeah. Well, I want to start a restaurant. See, this is what happens to me. I want to do all this stuff. I want to be like you. I want a truck. I want a restaurant. I want a hair salon. I want a podcast network. I want everything.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's like, you know this, when we're sitting here and watching the television? I'm like, yeah. She goes, you can kiss that goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, maybe I don't want that. But I, you know, I wanted to start a restaurant called Sopapillas.
Yeah.
And it's like that, you know, if you've ever been to Phoenix or out there in the Midwest, you know, they make these things called sopapillas. It's like Indian fry bread, really. And they puff up. And when we were kids, we'd go to, because I grew up in Albuquerque, Mexico.
Okay.
And we'd go to this restaurant and it would be these square little pillows. And we're like, what the heck? And you bite off the corner and then fill it with honey.
Oh.
And then you eat it. And it's amazing. And I'm like,
really?
Wouldn't these be great if you like filled them with like meat?
Yeah.
You know, and lettuce
stuff
and cheese. Yeah. And just made these great sopa. So I'm like, maybe we'll make a restaurant called Sopapillas and just shove everything in sopapillas. Eggs and bacon.
Yeah.
Meat. whatever.
Oh man.
Yeah, what do you think?
Hey.
The sopapilla truck coming down the road.
Yeah, I could put that in my ice cream truck.
Well, listen, that lady out there on Long Neck is making that fry bread, and it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll have to take you out there and buy you some lunch.
Hey.
Hey.
We do that.
So summer, obviously, is your the hot time.
No.
Oh.
This time of the year.
Okay.
Because what I do, I don't stop. It can be 30 degrees outside. I'm somewhere posted up selling food. Then you got to realize that's what a lot of people don't do. Right now, like you said yesterday, nobody's out doing barbecue.
Mm-mm.
So
big fail on Tom's part this week.
Yeah, so I'm out, so people are seeing me. So when springtime comes around, when their families, they already know I'm out somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like I said, it's all about the psychological game.
Well, I'm gonna start following you.
Yeah.
Because I want to get, you know, when and then I like eat a, barbecue, what, I'm just going to look where you're at.
And then what I do, like I post my events. It's like I'm going back to Dogfish Head again in November the 5th for their Analog Go, whatever festival it is.
Yeah.
And I was there for the last one, the Harvest Fest, and I was in there in June. I actually cooked for them in June. Even though they had their own kitchen, I still cooked for them. Nice. 100 employees. Love it.
Yeah.
You know? That chicken. They was like, man, it was that chicken, that mac and cheese. I'm like, hey.
Hey.
And they was like, you want to come back to a festival? Yeah. And then this last one, what about 2023? Are you booked? Give me the dates. You know? So you put good product out in the streets, people are going to talk about it.
Exactly.
That's why I said I don't want to be talked bad about in the streets. You right. know? Talk good. Spread the word.
Well, it seems like, you know, if anybody that's doing this is usually pretty passionate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, it's a community. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, like, be mad at other people kind of doing the same thing because it's a passion.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like, be like, I'm doing the only barbecue. You can't.
Because, right.
But whoever it is having the same passion right. that you are.
And the thing that stuck with me, my cousin, BJ, he does a lot of vegan food.
Okay.
And seafood, like he kills it. He's a beast. And he said something one day on one of his posts that people eat with their eyes first. And he put this picture up, it had a flower in there, all kinds of stuff. I was like, man, maybe I got to switch up on how I do my platters. Make it look like, oh man, I'm about to tear this platter up. Instead of something that's thrown together.
Right.
Make it look appealing. Yeah. That's why when you go through my... When you start going through my Instagram and you see my pictures, you're like, okay, now I see that he's not just throwing up in the platter.
Right.
It's making it look great.
Do you have any kids?
Yes, sir.
How old? Don't need to know the names, but how old are your kids?
19, 10.
Never mind, 10. A 10-year-old. Okay, so I have a 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
They're a wealth of knowledge when it comes to social media.
Yes.
My daughter is a TikToking fool. And, you know, people love
that TikTok.
People love to badmouth people and their TikTok. Man. But I'm going to tell you what, my daughter is a little TikTok genius. And her and I made a video of me cutting up a mango. 5,300 people looked at this video.
Into something?
And she put it together. She edited it. She added the music. And bam.
It's gone.
And I could not pull two wires together in my simple little brain to figure out. I mean, I could do it, but I don't know what happened. But I've lost patience for everything, and I just don't have the desire to sit there and whittle this stuff together. But she, bang, bang, bang. And I'm like, you know, I might have to hire you.
Yeah.
They're really good.
Yeah.
I read this book called The Fourth Turning, where it just talks about this, you know, our life, right? This 85-year chunk of time that we're sort of in. And it talks about, like, this last 20 years is the crisis. Mm-hmm. Feels like a crisis, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Feels kind of... But it talks about the saving grace and, you know, don't fall out of your seat. But it's supposedly the millennials.
Yeah.
And the artists. And you are right now an artist.
Yeah.
You know, people think, oh, you're not painting. You're not drawing. No, I'm putting food together.
I'm putting it together.
And people look at my food like it's art. And this is the art. This is, you know, where, you know... Before the pandemic, maybe someone was a server, right?
Mm-hmm.
After the pandemic, they're painting murals on your restaurant.
Yep.
You know, before the pandemic, they were server.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be the industry that's taking the biggest hit right now.
Yeah.
But before the pandemic, they were working in restaurants and whatever, and now they've created a food truck.
But it's the pandemic made it made you be a hustler.
It also made you realize that if shit get really crazy, we're not going to burst into flames and
exactly.
die.
Exactly.
You know, roll your sleeves up. You know,
figure it out.
If one more person tells me that nobody wants to work, I'm really going to fall apart.
You'd be surprised of...
It's a scapegoat.
It is. It doesn't work anymore.
It doesn't work anymore. And what it's shown us is that, you know, for a long time, we didn't make a lot of money. You know?
You're right.
Despite color or anything.
Right.
A big group of us, you know, I grew up in a time where if you didn't go to college, what were you going to do? Work at McDonald's and dig ditches. And I'm like, oh, no. And we kind of got punished like that.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing with like a YouTube TV, you know, we can learn and do anything.
I can learn
you
everything.
Want.
Yeah.
I just love it. And it talks about that the saving grace is going to be the artist, the millennials. And I absolutely agree. My daughter is a freaking artist. And I don't even know what they're going to call their generation, but
who knows?
They're a wealth of knowledge.
Right.
And so trying to figure out how to incorporate a 10-year-old's little brain into what my business needs is art itself.
And it's like you don't really need. I'm not knocking college, but when me and my homeboys we graduated, and my cousin we grew up kind of the same with our pop-offs.
Yeah,
he's making money.
Yep,
he's teaching us how to make money. Well, I'm going to go to college and spend money. No, it's not going to benefit me. I'm a hustle.
Yeah,
you know. And then now I see people that we went to school with that went to college is not doing as great as we're doing. Mm. Like I said, I'm not knocking the college thing. I'm not. But it's like we drive trucks. We make pretty good money. You know what I mean? But we didn't do an ounce of school. After high school, kissed them books goodbye.
I had to get my GED.
Yeah.
I couldn't even finish high school. I hated it.
We almost had to take a step back in high school, but
well, I mean, listen, I took the GED, I passed it first try. It just wasn't. Some of us aren't really cut out for, you know. I want to be smart, but to sit in a classroom, I just really had a lot of.
See,
trouble.
Everybody learns different.
Everybody does learn,
and when you focus on different things, you're not going to learn the way that person over there is learning.
Right.
Because when I was in school, I was focusing on I'm going to get out and make me some money.
Well, and I think we look at everybody else and we compare in and out, and we're like, well, because you said it, I made okay money. Making money's fine. I mean,
right.
What's good or what's bad? I mean, it's what works in my life, you know. So it's, you know, compared to nothing. I know if I'm making money, my buddy Matt used to say, get a good CPA.
Yeah.
Because you're going to pay them or the IRS. Don't steal from yourself.
Right.
Don't steal from the business.
Right.
And I've always thought I didn't need to go to college. I didn't need to go to business school. Get a good CPA. That means they'll cover all the CPA like college stuff that I chose to not learn.
Right.
And don't steal from the company.
Right.
And because I know that when I opened my, I'd always work for people. And when I opened my own spot, I was like, I remember I called up Matt. I'm like, I got $3,000 in the bank. What is going on? And he's like, well, did you pay
any bills yet?
Yeah. No. He goes, did you pay this? I go, no. He goes, okay. Well,
you're broke.
You don't have any money.
Yep.
And I didn't. And I was okay because I was doing it.
But it's a great feeling when you earn your money. You know what I mean? When you get out there and just get it.
It's even a better feeling.
You're just getting it.
It's even a better feeling, really, because I think anybody can go earn money.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a better feeling when it's like being saved and it's going to use in the business.
Yeah.
And you can see that. And when people say, hey, you know, like every once in a while, I'll forget to pay the electric bill, right? And they're like, we're going to shut your electric off. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then I just go, oh, well, I have the money. So let me pay it. I apologize.
Yeah.
I forgot. And
it slips your mind.
Yeah. It's one thing to like forget. But it's another thing when you just don't have it.
I forgot about my car insurance 1 week, one month. And I was like, I went through my emails, cancellation, like, hold up, whoa, hold up. No, you can't cancel my insurance now.
Right.
But it's one of them things, you got so much on your mind, you know, growth and this and that, what I'm going to put together, what menu, this. You just forget about the little insurance bill.
Well, I think this, you know, as I have a child who is 17, talking about going to college, that whole world is so distorted now. It's like this blur of, you know, what society has now made these kids feel like they have to do. and, you know, just like paying a bill, right? Forgetting to pay the bill, realizing you still, you know, you have the money because you are responsible and you get to pay it. Maybe it's late, you pay a late fee. Great lessons, you know, mm-hmm. you don't find this in college.
Right.
And it's just, and I hate to like break it down to that basic, but it feels like we've lost basic.
Yeah.
It's like getting back to basics. I feel like we've lost it. And
but what is basic? You know what I mean?
So forgetting to pay a bill,
you know, and then,
still having the money and paying it.
And then, you ask all these questions is like, what does society want you to do? Well, who made the rule book?
Right.
I don't like following rules. I'll tell you right now, I don't like rules.
Well,
I hate rules. I hate following them. I mean, I got to follow them to a, you know.
Nobody like, especially if your wife gave them to you.
But that's how I operate my business. I'm myself.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't sugarcoat nothing.
Well, you probably, I mean, listen, I'd love to say I don't like following the rules, but, you know, if it wasn't for rules, I'm not sure that you and I could get by doing what we do.
True.
Because it would be a hundred freaking, it would be a shit show.
Yeah.
And so I love being, publicly a little bit of a rebel, but inside, mm-hmm. you know, we were talking, I was talking to my ex-brother-in-law, Brian. I talked to another guy the other day, Steve Smick, about, you know, politics.
That guy, he wrote up on me 3 times in 1 day last week. Go. Yeah, was last week.
He's a great guy.
He is.
Steve Smith. Check out his podcast. He was on a couple weeks ago. But we were talking about, you know, politics. And I'm like, politics is policy. You know, it's policy that, you know, you and I don't pay attention. I remember going on vacation to the Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk up the stairs, you're like tripping and flipping. And you're like, what's going on? And it's like, oh, that's because in the Dominican, they only make 3-inch rise of a step.
Mm.
You're like, well, I've always known my whole life it's a 4-inch rise, you know,
yep.
and now I'm falling and tripping just because somebody studied this policy and put it into place,
yeah.
and it just seems to work, you know. And so, you know, I'm glad we have the rules. I'm sure you are too, but it is fun to say I'm a rebel, but
yeah.
I like to follow rules as well.
Yeah, it's like I just like being myself, you know.
Well,
what
that's
I mean?
That's the beauty of this country, right?
And then that helps me with my business.
Yeah,
you know, people know me as B. Now I introduce myself to people. I'm like, "What's your name, Brian? Uncle B." Because I'm trying to make myself a brand. You know.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, that's the next thing. Now, that's when you got to get your 10-year-old start that TikTok game.
Well, I got a TikTok, and I mean, it's a lot. It is a lot. It's like I'm sitting at the table, girlfriend. What song do I use? I don't know. I'm like, man, I need a song. You know, something, you know, then I'm learning the hashtagging game. And
yeah.
then I'm like, man, but I'm not doing bad with it. You know, it could be better, but.
Well, we can get a little insane over it. You know, for me, if I was going to follow you, I just want to know where you're going to be this weekend. I don't know if you do the same location every weekend.
I'm different.
Yeah. So to me, that's.
It's like this weekend, I'll be in Dell State.
Listen, I think you're great. But in the end, I need food.
Yeah.
Right. And I need some good barbecue.
But Sunday.
But it has to only be on Sunday.
No, I can do barbecue on Sunday.
Okay.
Saturday, I'll be in Dell State.
Okay. But, I mean, the point is that I love your Instagram, TikTok. I love all that. But, really, where are you going to be at so mm-hmm. that I can come and get some food?
Right.
And
right.
so I think number one importance is where am I at? I remember a long time ago there was a place that opened next to me, Toot the Sweet. And their sign was all beautiful, and it was in cursive.
Uh-huh.
And my buddy Matt comes by, and he goes, well, they're never going to make it. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, that sign, it's in cursive. What does the sign say? I'm
right.
Like, I don't know. I can't read it because it's in French. Toot the Sweet. And I didn't know what it meant. Obviously, it must mean something pastry sweet.
Yeah, it was sweet.
But he goes, you know, that is personalities before principles. Like, they thought it was important to be artsy and to really be this way and that way. And in the end, you can't read the sign.
You can't read it.
You can't understand what it says. It just says a lot of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And the sign should say, best freaking croissant in town.
Right.
Right? In big, black, bold letters.
Mm-hmm.
That should be the message.
Yep.
But we get involved, right? That personality comes and we want to become artsy. And TikTok and Instagram allows us to do that.
Yeah.
But we got to find the balance. So.
But see, like, it's like you look at my logo on my shirt. It's basic.
Yeah. And it should be.
And if you really look at it, if you actually look at a dollar bill, you'll see the same font.
Oh.
Big, bold.
Right. Dollar.
You know? So you know, my homegirl that made the logo, she knows me. I'm basic.
Right.
But they also know how I come up loving my dollar bills.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So that's how the font looks. I don't think she noticed it, but I noticed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, it's just, you know, like I said, if you, you know, this isn't our personality moment. This is about the principles of, you know, small business.
Yeah. Nice and basic.
What's your name? Where are you going to be?
Right.
How's the food?
Right.
And unfortunately, sometimes it's in that order,
you
know? But if the food's good, the first two come very, you know, are very important.
And then that word of mouth, it travels. It travels.
Well, I will tell you that I had a girl that I work with. She told me, oh, these guys over here on this road, their barbecue is amazing. Never tried it, but I've spent 2 weeks trying to get it.
Right.
And I've never had it.
Right.
I mean, I went the first week. They had already closed. We went yesterday.
They weren't there for the season.
Yeah, and I was like, I've spent a lot of money and gas and made a, in my time trying to get this barbecue, and I've never even had it.
Right, right.
So, yes, it is. But I think I found my guy.
Yeah.
Uncle B.
Uncle B.
So you going, so let's talk about, I know, sort of talked about the weekend coming up. So this weekend, Sunday, you're barbecuing. Saturday, you're at?
Dell State. Yeah.
And
my buddy Donald Polk called me up.
And I feel like I know that name.
You know Brian Polk. He's a referee, head referee.
Has he been on this podcast?
I don't think so. You might need to get him on here.
Okay.
Because he has a lot of things you need to talk about.
He's got to vent.
No, he's been refereeing.
We need to treat our referees better.
He's been refereeing for a long time, and it's a lot of things going on at the schools now that shouldn't be going on at these games, bringing in weapons and this, and this.
Hey, what's that about?
It's different. Different day and age.
I coached a few years back. I've shared this story before. My son was doing soccer, and we showed up for the first day, and here's your shirts, here's some cones, there is no coach. I was like, oh, what? No coach. I go, I guess I'll do it. I'll try. Not a coach, right? I'm a hairdresser, podcast guy. But I'm like, I'll do it because I want to help be there for the kids. I can put down some cones. I did play soccer, and I'm like, we can do some stuff. And, you know, I met every weekend with the kid or once a week, and we worked on our stuff. I bought balls and cones and really got into it. And we had a game, and one of the first things about, whether it's coaching, I guess, or reffing, but, you know, all the kids are different. And some aren't as good as others, but you still want to be fair.
Right.
And I remember I took a phone call during the game. Apparently that's a problem. Apparently I do not care about this team at all, right?
Right.
And this lady came after me with her little, like, 15-year-old kid.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, yeah, F you. And I'm like, you know, I'm just volunteering. I'm just doing the best I can here.
Right.
And they're like, you know, if you don't take this seriously, get off the field. And I was like, oh, my God. And the 15-year-old's in my face, too. And I was like, that's it. I quit. So I'm walking off. And I go, you know what, though? You know, these kids have, you know, what sort of messages am I sending if I'm being chased off by a lady and her 15-year-old kid?
Right.
And so I showed up, and I made an apologize because I had to be accountable for that. I didn't really, it makes sense. I'm also trying to, like, I was building an app at the time.
Yeah.
This guy had called me from freaking India, and I'm trying to do, and so I made an amends, right? I had to recognize my part.
Right.
Made the amends and then moved on. I did not quit. I will not coach ever again.
I heard that.
But it's a shame, you know, it's like, somebody was talking to me about the presidency, and I won't get into it, but I'm like, you know, the problem is that all the good brains that could be great presidents are smart enough to know they don't want to get involved in that.
They don't
want to
get involved in it.
It's like we throw, you know, we put so much on these people. It's like, you know, they're trying to help us, and in the end, we're just going to be left with nobody.
Right.
No refs.
No nothing.
No coaches. No president.
Yep.
Or something.
Something.
So yeah, that's it's tough, and hopefully we get it figured out. I don't know I don't know why kids are so upset.
I don't either.
Uptight.
You gotta see what's getting pushed on the internet too. You know, it's a lot of kids trying to make a name for themselves. A lot.
Well, it's likes.
That
and
too.
I like, you know, I'm a big fan of football. I'm a big fan of sports, and I love these. these wide receivers, DBs, one-on-one competitions that they have down in the South. I don't know where they have it, but it's, I think the one I was watching was down in it was West Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And follow me, you know, I'm LLL underscore on Instagram. Every kid has an Instagram. Every kid, you know, makes a great catch. Yeah. Follow me on Instagram. And they get their Instagrams.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get it, but I think it makes for a weird environment. It's not really, it's sort of like reality, not reality.
Yeah.
And it becomes, that's important.
It's like a lot of them don't know the balance of reality and, you know, what's fake, you know?
I don't see him changing. I feel like just you and I will just eventually just die off and be the last of that. You know,
yeah.
My dad at 80, I think my dad just turned 86. You know, he's the last of those that remember, you know, like working in Selbyville,
yeah,
crabbing in the morning, picking blueberries during the day, sweeping like out the church, living down in Ocean City with his grandmother for the summer. I mean, this real simple life. And then I, being his son, remembers his stories and remembers, you know, hard work and get you through it. Mm-hmm. But I also have come up through the time where, you know, it's getting better.
Right.
But when he goes, that story is going to pass. And then, you know, when you and I go, then it's just going to be a life after social media.
Yeah.
This guy, Tim Diller, I forget, this comedian, Tim, he's like, you know, the 50-year-olds should be pretty damn happy because they're the last ones to remember what life was before social media. You know, we had it. We grew up in how old are you?
I'm 38.
Okay, I'm 55, 54. But we grew up in a time where we went out and played. You know, we didn't have our phones.
We used to go outside, be in the house at dark.
Yep, and it was okay.
Hit the water hose if you're thirsty.
You know what's funny is that we didn't worry about getting kidnapped, right?
Because
it wasn't on. I was telling somebody, I go, that all started when that little girl fell in the well. And I don't even know, you might not even remember that. But there's little Jessica, I forget her last name, but she was in Texas and she fell in this well in her backyard. And that was really the beginning of like 24-hour CNN news because CNN covered, because they had to dig her out of the hole, right?
Right.
And we all stood by the television for like 3 or 4 days as they dug her out.
Hey.
And it was that 24-hour cycle. And I know I went in the backyard in my house. I'm like, do I have a well? Do we have? You know, it's like I started to react to something that wasn't even in my community. And that was really the beginning because as a kid, we never even
cared. Wake up, get breakfast, go outside.
Yeah.
You're not sitting in the house.
Breakfast was optional. Get up and go outside.
And get outside. Yeah. Like when I was at my grandma's, we used to have to be up by sunrise because we had to get the eggs.
Okay.
Out of the chicken coop.
Mm. That's awesome.
You know, so we had to get up. Me and my cousin, we had to get up, get them eggs, wash them out because we went to the sales up there in Milton. I mean, not Milton, Lincoln, Wilson Sales, and they would sell the eggs.
Now, what's this? Is there something that, like, if you don't wash an egg?
You have to wash it off.
You have to wash it off.
You have to wash it off.
What happens if you don't wash it off?
Well, you freak out the chicken manure and everything on it.
You know, besides it being dirty.
Yeah.
Like, there's not something that, like, all of a sudden.
You just wash them. I don't necessarily does anything to the egg itself, but it's one of them things, you know, it has to look presentable.
Sometimes I'll have a client that brings me eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, here, I brought you some eggs. I haven't washed them. I was like, okay, what's that mean? Do I have a problem?
It's just basically washing off the manure and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of pneumonia.
Yeah, there is.
And that, so you want to get it off. You don't want to be touching that and cracking it and putting your bread in the toaster. And
I think I ate it together. I never washed any of them. Oh, my God. So is this going to be your first winter?
No.
Is this your second?
I was out last winter.
Okay. So this is your really... What would be your anniversary of really starting this project?
Actually, really starting would be, maybe I think it was last week, maybe.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Yeah, last week is when I got the, September last year, I got the trailer and then worked day and night, get it together. And then we had that event for Devin at his high school. Actually, it was at the fire department. We had that event. And then that's when I first took my trailer out.
Nice.
And then it's been, ever since then, going outside the road, picking spots to go, setting up a grandma's house, and then they start booking events.
I mean, imagine, and I don't know, I don't know how much you love driving a truck. I would imagine you do love it. You seem happy.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of times, you know, crappy jobs will motivate us to do different stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just us, right? Sometimes it's just, what do they say? Wherever I go, I follow.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, so trying to understand if it's a job or if it's just me, but is your goal one day to do this full time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Would you be upset to not drive a truck?
It would probably hurt me a little bit because you figure we got our license in 06.
And listen, man, there is an art to driving a truck.
It is.
So thank you because it is, you know, there's nothing worse than a bad truck driver.
Yeah, you're right about that.
He gets himself all in the jam up.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you for being a truck driver. And, you know, these are jobs, you know, we forget, man. Mm-hmm. And if without truck drivers, we'd be really in a lot of trouble.
We deliver everything but babies.
Bam. For now.
For now, yeah.
It might be a requirement one day.
For now.
I bet if someone was having a baby next to your truck, you jump out. Oh, yeah, and I'm going to
deliver
that.
And that'd be the first baby delivered.
Boom.
But people don't realize that you literally, everything you see right here came off a truck.
Yep.
Everything.
Yeah, and if it's not delivered, well, we are realizing that because this
now is. Now it's getting realized.
People are like, well, and it's kind of fun in a way because now we're starting to realize that we need to manufacture some stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how.
And it got to get shipped out.
It's got to get shipped. But back in our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Kodak is the first company right now that's built making pharmaceuticals. You know, Kodak was a camera or film.
Yeah.
But before that, they were pharmaceutical.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So after the film bust, you know, now we do everything digital.
Mm, yeah.
They're making generic pharmaceuticals again.
Huh.
And I think we're going to start seeing that in the next, I don't know, year, 20 years. But I think we're going to start manufacturing stuff because if you can't get it shipped here,
mm-hmm.
and the logistics of that's going to become a problem, we have to make it. And we should be making
it. Should be making it anyway.
Yeah. Capitalism.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches. No, I'm just kidding. So this weekend is Dell State. Sunday, you're going to be barbecuing. Yeah, where are you going to be at?
I'll more or less be at my grandmom's in Belltown.
I don't even know where Belltown is.
Right next to New Ace Hardware.
The old Ari Micah building. So that's where you do you.
That's my uncle down the street at my other grandma's house.
What's the history of that area? Because isn't that the first? And I hate to,
you got
I hate,
the school.
I hate yeah. saying the word black, but yeah, I'm yeah, sorry.
The first black school is right
the
down
first
the corner.
Black school. Well, see right
now
there.
The state owns is going to own that property.
Okay,
but the school is
because of the construction for that Five Points area.
It's going to be dumb.
A roundabout in the field.
Yeah.
Someone got a boner from roundabouts right now. It's really
roundabouts everywhere.
Yeah, it's really bad. I'm like, we're roundabouting all over the place.
So it's like my mom's mom is from Pinetown.
Okay.
So, you know, it was a school down there. They just walked the railroad tracks from Pinetown to Belltown.
Yeah.
And my other grandma from Rehoboth area. And somehow they live right down the street. So it was like a good thing for me when I was go to one grandma, go down the street to the other one, back and forth.
It's good to have a little grandmom in your life.
Oh, yeah. Still got both of them.
Ah, lucky.
Still got both of them.
I lost my mom this 2 years ago. Two years ago this time of year.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was cool.
Yep. Still got. And then you figure that whole area where all you see the building now used to be just houses and everybody used to be. And we used to have that free lunch. It's come to the church, right? You know how you come out the turn off of Robsonville?
Yeah.
And then that little shortcut, the church right there?
Jimtown?
No, and Belltown.
Belltown.
You know at the light and you got the church on the corner?
Yes.
That used to be the free lunch truck used to park.
Okay.
Free lunch. Everybody's come. But it was different.
Yes.
It's not as much traffic as it was. It was just everybody was there.
Well, listen, I moved here in 94. And I know that isn't a big chunk of time compared to some people that have been there mm-hmm. here all their life, but I've watched this town change.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to say it's for the worse or for the better. It's just natural change, I think, that takes place. But when people come into this town and start complaining,
yeah,
I say, you know how much work we've been doing to get this town to where it's at today?
Right.
And you want to come and complain?
Yeah.
Damn it.
When I finally realized the change was, it was a trailer park behind my grandma's house. It was there for a long time. They start tearing it out. Then they built the condos. Was it Sandbar or something like that? Yep. I think it's Sandbar. So I'm like, all right, there's no fence back there. And they got a pool. Community pool, I guess.
Yeah.
That didn't work out
good. Nah, it didn't go so well. Did you jump over the community fence?
Well, it wasn't the fence that's there now wasn't there. It was just, it was wide open because right. It was construction entrance.
Sure.
So, you know, I figured this was the new Belltown community pool.
I love it. And as you should.
Right. Right. I'm thinking, okay, this is Belltown, you know, so why not? And then you start seeing all the houses starting to come. Then they started grading out. Because we used to be that field by Lowe's. That was all field.
Yeah.
We used to walk that up, you know, to go to my homeboy's house, live behind Lowe's.
Dude, the changes that I've got just in the time that I've been here. I mean, when I moved here, there was, I think, an outlet.
Rehoboth outlets.
Yeah, but they weren't all.
It wasn't all the way down.
No, it wasn't all the way down. You remember Lowe's used to be where Home Goods was?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that was Home Goods?
Yeah.
I mean, that was Lowe's.
A lot of changes.
Walmart was super fresh.
Super fresh.
Yeah.
That was a spot.
That was a spot.
Yeah.
You know.
JR's Place for Ribs.
Where was that?
The old, it was the Crackle Barrel.
Yes. Yep. I remember that.
Ponderosa.
What was the place that used to be La Tonoteca? It was the breakfast place. I remember it had the green leaves with the red berries on it. What was that?
I don't remember that.
I used to work at the country club. Mm-hmm. And like on rainy days, we would go down and get breakfast down there.
Right.
You can't do that anymore.
No.
So many people.
You can't. And that's why the way I cook, I make you feel like you're still local. You know, you're still a homie. You know what I mean?
Is that going to be your slogan?
Not really. Probably not.
Sounded good.
But you know, but it's just even when I do an event, I'm the same exact way.
Yeah.
You know, I just talk to you like, hey, come on, you know, like you're home, you know.
Well, I can tell you as a person that buys food, as a person that goes to businesses, the main thing that I think is important, obviously, is what we're eating is good.
Mm-hmm.
Number one or number two is just being consistent.
Oh yeah.
That's it.
You got to be
good
consistent.
Good food and being consistent. I can't say I'm going to eat there every day, but I will say that when I want to eat there, I hope it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's what most people like.
Because
mm-hmm.
Like right now, it's during weekends, mm-hmm. Saturdays, Sundays. I try to do stuff during the week. Like maybe I might do like a pop-up here and there.
I know what I wanted to ask you. Are you going to cook turkeys?
I have two turkeys in my freezer now that I have to fry for Thanksgiving. No, that's not for Thanksgiving. Actually, Thanksgiving, I want to feed the homeless.
Okay.
Go to a lot of the shelters and just try to figure out who's where are people, and just load my truck up and just go around and feed people. And that's what we're doing this year. Instead of having a family gathering, we're going out. And I'm actually got to put something together now to try to get some donations from a couple of businesses. I want to do gift cards.
Do we have a lot of homeless here?
Oh yeah,
we have a lot of homeless here.
Yeah, behind the church, I think Epworth. It's like a camp back there behind the one up there by the old Pizza Hut. It's a camp back there. You know this?
I don't ask that question because I'm an idiot. I ask that question because I just don't know. I feel like we have a lot of opportunity for people that are struggling. You know, that's always been. I'm sober. Mm-hmm. I've been sober for a long time, and I feel like a lot of people, because we have a lot of opportunity for people that want to take it.
Right.
But there's some rules that are in place that you know you either have to follow these rules or you can't come in.
Right.
It was so interesting. We used to live down by the Junction Breakwater Trail, and I would run. I was big into running all the time. And there was a guy that lived in the woods. And he clearly had some challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And I would run by him. I'd be like, hey, you know, give him a wave. And he would, you know, look at me with these eyes and his eyes. And I was at Giant the other day. And me and this guy kind of come together just as we're going down this mm-hmm. aisle. And I'm like, you know, hey, you know, you go ahead, sir. But those eyes, they hit me. And I was like, what are those eyes? Where do I remember those eyes from? And I remember he lived in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And so I caught up to him. And I had said, you know, a time ago, you here, you go ahead. You look confused, you know, being folksy. Yeah. Right? You look confused. You go ahead. Not confused. You know, he started having this kind of little bit of a rant. And I was like, oh, my God. And then it all came together. I go, this is the guy that lived in the woods. Mm-hmm. And I caught up to him. And I go, hey, man. I go, I don't know if you remember, but I used to see you a lot in the mornings when I would run on the trail.
Right.
And, you know, we talked. I could tell there was some challenges. But I said, I'm glad you're doing okay. And he goes, I'm doing good. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And the recession is over. I said, all right. But I'm like, wow, that was like, you know, he came from, I don't know what was going on, but I can tell you he was grocery shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing, looked like he was doing good. So you never know when the person's going to find the right path.
Yeah.
But, you know, as long as this person is, I just wonder if some of these people that are homeless are doing this by choice.
Yeah, and then it's hard to decipher everybody's situation because you got some that do it, you know, just extra money.
Yeah.
Some people really need it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But what are we going to do? We're just going to cook up some food.
No, I love it. And I was wondering if someone wants to maybe pitch in or donate to that.
Well, what I'm going to do, I got to sit down and write out. Like a, not necessarily a letter, just like a, almost like a memo of what I want to do, what I'm going to do it, and what I want. Mm-hmm. Like I want to get some gift cards, socks, some gloves, some scarves, you know, little hats, just something, and then a nice meal. You know what I mean?
Gloves are amazing. I had an opportunity to buy these $80 North Face gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I got to get these gloves. These gloves look amazing. They're North Face, right? And
right.
I'm like, wait a minute, what are you doing? And I bought these $2.50 gloves from Walgreens, these little wool.
The little wool ones.
Little wool gloves. They're the best.
The best ones in the world.
They're the best freaking glove ever for $2.50.
It might last about a week or two, but in that week or two,
well, they can last. I mean, I run in them all the time. They will last.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wouldn't get in a snowball fight with them. You know, they're not going to work out as far as snowballs. But just a nice glove.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, people want to help out. Buy people these gloves. I mean, they're not expensive. Yeah. You can buy a bunch of them. You can give them out.
And it's like with me, like, when I watch, you know, when I can watch TV, you see everybody, you know, help this family get toys, help this family get this. Well, you got to realize people don't have a family. On Thanksgiving, that's like a warm feeling to sit down and have a warm meal, you know.
Absolutely.
Whether it's not your family or not, you're still, you know, you're showing thanks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and this is the time of year.
Yeah. And it's getting cold outside.
Yeah.
You know, when it's hot outside, I don't know what you can even do for people because, but this kind of weather here, you know, it's chilly, you know.
It's invigorating.
You know, warm them up a little bit. Make them feel good inside. You know, give them a little push.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what we're going to do this year. I told my girlfriend that, you know, we're not going to sit down and have dinner. We're going to go serve people dinner. And, you know, and I did a giveaway with Rob back in June at the Hampton Inn. I think we did 350 meals that day. It was a lot of chicken. And it's kind of been in the back of my mind, like, the whole time. Like, man, I want to actually do a.
Well, listen, if that's something you start officially doing, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would get on board. Because, but that's my other question. That was sort of my question. How many homeless people do we really have? Like, could you get 5 cases of chicken and cook it up? And is there 5 cases worth of homeless people?
Well, you got to figure it's people that doesn't have the means to even cook a dinner, too.
No, so
it's like I want. It's like a.
It's just helping.
Helping people.
It's the season of helping.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter about being homeless. I mean, listen, if it's that good, I might show up.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Just come
times
get a meal.
Times are tough, Brian.
And just congregate with people, you know, show whoever, so that, you know, it's all one big family.
Do you do brisket?
No. My buddy does brisket, but I don't have the time for brisket.
Slow cook it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you did transition into just being a person,
then I could have time to focus on that kind of stuff. Right now, it's just a lot of chicken, ribs, Now I'm in the turkey legs. Oh my god! I blew their mind at Dogfish and turkey legs last time. Oh yeah.
Listen, I could talk to you all day. This is great. So it's Brian Thomas.
Yes, sir.
Uncle B's Kitchen.
Uncle B's Kitchen.
Big boy. That's what I call my son. Big boy. That's what's on your shirt.
Big dog. Big dog. Big dog.
I don't call him a big dog. I call him a big boy, but you are a dog. And I appreciate that. And you're, so we'll put this in the description, but so your Instagram, your main one is?
Is Mr.IceCream.Man.
Mr.IceCream.Man.
Yeah.
So,
and then my business page is Uncle B's Kitchen 302.
Uncle B's Kitchen 302.
Yeah. And that's my same with my like page on Facebook. And then my Facebook page is Brian Thomas.
Go on, find him on Instagram. Like his stuff. Make him get excited.
Oh, yeah.
Blow his mind. What's the biggest, have you done something you found that a lot of people really liked, and then sometimes you do something that not doesn't get the best
That $100 Mac. That's why I call my mac and cheese $100 Mac.
Do you know Harry Cameron?
No.
He owns Uncle Mac.
Uncle Mac?
Yeah. There is an Uncle? No, Grandpa Mac.
Oh, Grandpa Mac? No.
Do we need a Mac off?
Actually, it's going to be one on the Dogfish event because it's me, Grandpa Mac, Taco Rijo.
Taco Rijo's doing it?
Yeah, they're going to be there too.
Making mac and cheese?
No. Oh. I'm just saying that Grandpa Mac's going to be there and. I got something coming.
Well, listen,
I got something coming.
Harry Cameron's a great guy.
Yeah.
I would love for you guys to get together because
I think him and Rob are pretty tight.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, great guy.
I mean,
I've had him on the podcast a couple times. Really love, big fan of his. And he's a wealth of knowledge. So,
yeah.
And I think, in this business, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, but it's almost like the more people you know, the better.
Oh, yeah.
Right, I mean, we're never.
That's what they say. Is who you know.
Well, and I think that's what it's. I feel like that is local.
Yep, Coach Collick will tell you. You got to be with the movers and shakers.
Well, people say, "Oh, local." I always say, "Local's more than a sticker." It's not what you know; it's who you know.
It's who you know.
And if you've been here, I've been here 30 something years. I know a lot of people.
You've probably been here all my life. Much.
Yeah, so. It's not just the knowing the back roads. It's who you know.
It's who you know. And it's who you know on those back roads.
Hell yeah. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate it, Brian. My favorite kind of guests are just the hustlers. I call them the Instagram hustlers. And
yes.
It's just, we're blessed, man. We get a time in our lives where we can do this stuff. And I love that you're doing both. But I have a feeling, one day you'll come back and you'll just be doing.
I'm going to come in here with a whole buffet style. We're going to load this table up.
I love it.
Get it in.
Well, listen, man, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And come back sometime.
All right.
I love it. Thank you.
All right. No problem.